Chanté par Hetty Kus Endang. Bonne écoute. Je crois qu'il est temps pour moi de terminer cette émission d'une heure d'aujourd'hui. Je vous remercie pour votre fidélité et n'oubliez pas de nous écrire à notre courriel voilisteners@gmail.com voilisteners@gmail.com. Donc, je vous souhaite bonne journée, bonne soirée et à bientôt.
From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id. and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From Indonesia to the
listener, and welcome to the Voice of Indonesia with the news. These are the headlines. Indonesia sends 800 tons of humanitarian aid to Gaza. Egypt backs Indonesia's humanitarian mission to aid Gaza. I'm Ray, and this is the news in details. Indonesia has once again demonstrated its humanitarian commitment by dispatching 800 tons of essential aid to Gaza. The assistance, consisting of food and vital supplies, will be airlifted further from Jordan. Desi Anugranov has the details.
In a significant humanitarian operation, Indonesian National Armed Force Commander General Agus Subianto officially deployed the Garuda Merah Putih 2nd Task Force from Jakarta on Wednesday. The mission will transport 800 tons of critical aid to Gaza through Jordan. The relief supplies have been jointly provided by the National Arms Agency and the Indonesian Ministry of Defense.
This solemn moment reminds us that the spirit of independence extend beyond our borders. It calls us to support nations striving for peace and freedom.
On the occasion, Commander Subianto also emphasized three critical missions parameters, namely prioritizing the safety of all personnel, strict adherence to international protocols, and close coordinations with the Royal Jordanian Air Force and other partners. Furthermore, the 60-member army contingent involved has been specially trained for these complex humanitarian operations. Authorities anticipate the aid will provide substantial relief to Gaza civilian populations facing severe shortages.
The Indonesian government sent 800 tons of humanitarian aid to Gaza. This step received Egyptian support. Desi Anugranov has the details.
Ambassador of Egypt to Indonesia, Asr Hasan Farag Esselmi, has pledged full support for Indonesia's Gaza aid mission during the send-off of the Garuda Merah Putih Second Task Force in Jakarta on Wednesday. The operation will airdrop critical supplies from Jordan using two C-130 aircraft. Ambassador Esselmi commended Indonesia's initiative, noting Egypt's sustained effort since the October 7, 2020-30 crisis, saying that Egypt and Indonesia have worked tirelessly to deliver assistance to people in Gaza.
My dear friend, of course today we are witnessing the Indonesian initiative to send two C-130s to drop humanitarian aid on our brothers and sisters in Gaza. Of course, Egypt is welcoming and supporting all the Indonesian efforts in this issue, and Egypt is willing and working very hard from the start of the crisis since 7th of October 2023 to help our brothers and sisters in Gaza and push as much as humanitarian aid to Gaza Strip as much as we can possible.
The ambassador further highlighted that the Rafah crossing remains under Israeli control, stressing Egypt's readiness to expedite it the moment access is granted. He called for coordinated action among Indonesia, Islamic nations, and the international community to overcome logistical barriers. Ranoff, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government has unveiled plans to significantly enhance the quality, accessibility, and efficiency of digital services nationwide within the next 4 years. This initiative forms a crucial foundation for Indonesia's digital ecosystem development. Rizka Fadila has the details.
The Indonesian government has set an ambitious target to upgrade national digital infrastructure by 2029. This government digital priority program was announced by Cahyono Triwirowo, acting deputy for government digital transformation at the Ministry of Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform, during the virtual government digital clinic event in Jakarta on Thursday. Cahyono outlined key focus areas for digital government priority program, with social service, healthcare, and education sectors identified as primary target for digital transformation over the next 4 years.
There is social transformation, health, education, social education. That is what the president is focusing on.
The initiative received full support from Wayantoni Suprianto, Director General of Post and Informatics Organization at the Ministry of Communication and Digital, who emphasized its role in driving economic transformation and improving public service quality.
We are implementing strategic initiatives to stimulate economic change and enhance service quality. Simultaneously, we are carefully evaluating emerging technologies for potential integration.
Comprehensive digital transformation efforts, Indonesia aims to establish a robust digital ecosystem that will benefit both the economy and public service by 2029. Rizka Fadila, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government, through the National Nutrition Agency, has announced that the free nutritious meal program has reached over 15 million beneficiaries across Indonesia. The target is set to expand to nearly 20 million recipients. Isan Saputra has the details.
The free nutritious meal program has now surpassed 15 million beneficiaries nationwide, as announced by the head of the National Nutrition Agency, Dadan Hindayana, in a press statement in Jakarta on Tuesday. He emphasized that the government aims to expand coverage to nearly 20 million people.
Currently, 5,103 nutrition service units operate across the country, covering all 38 provinces, 502 regencies, and 4,770 sub-districts. These facilities have already served over 15 million beneficiaries, and we expect the number to reach nearly 20 million in the near future.
that insya Allah akan mendekati angka 20 juta.
Dadan also revealed that the program has absorbed 8.2 trillion rupiah from the state budget allocated specifically for nutritional interventions. He noted that while the funding focus on meals, service units are built through partnerships, significantly boosting economic circulations in communities.
So free nutritious meal itself has only absorbed 8.2 trillion rupiahs, which is focused solely on providing nutritional interventions. Meanwhile, the service units are buildings constructed by partners, so in total, the money circulating in the community is quite substantial.
To meet the growing demand, the National Nutrition Agency is preparing 14,000 additional service units in collaboration with Indonesian National Armed Force, Indonesian National Police, educational institutions, community organizations, and private sector partners. The agency is also expediting verification, administrations, and fund disbursement to ensure new units become operational quickly. Dadan remains optimistic that the 20 million beneficiary target can be achieved through these efforts. Isan Syaputra, Voice of Indonesia.
In commemoration of 80 years of independence, the Indonesian Ministry of Culture has launched a stamp featuring the nation's founders. Kiki Novita has the details.
Iya, terima kasih. Kita akan langsung menuju ke rangkaian acara berikutnya. Terima kasih sudah berkenan bergabung bersama-sama di depan. Kami persilahkan kepada Bapak Menteri untuk tetap di tempat. Kami persilahkan kepada Pak Wamen dan Pak Restu untuk dapat kembali ke tempat.
The Indonesian Ministry of Culture on Tuesday launched a series of stamps featuring the nation founder as a part of the 80th anniversary celebration of Indonesia's independence. Held in the Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence Building in Jakarta, was attended by family of the proclamation leader and founding figure. The stamp launch aimed to honor the contributes of Indonesian independence hero while reviving historical awareness among the public. Minister of Culture Padlijon emphasized that history must remain a vital part of the nation's collective memory.
Sejarah kita ini tetap hidup.
We want our history to remain alive, to remain an important part of the collective memory of the nation. One way to do this is through stamps and philatelic items, which are portraits or material culture that can still be an integral part of capturing those events.
The Director General of Culture and Traditional Protection, Restu Gunawan, added that the event not only commemorates history. According to him, it also serves as an educational tool to promote the value of Indonesia's founding figure to younger generation.
This event aims to honor and appreciate the roles of the great figures of BPUPKI and the Independence Preparation Committee mark the 80th anniversary of the Republic of Indonesia and serve as means of promotion and education about the roles and services of national figures, especially for the younger generation of Indonesians and the international community.
The launch of the Founding Fathers Stamp series is expected to rekindle young people's interest in history and the struggle for independence. Kiki Novita, Voice of Indonesia.
You are listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Free nutritious meal program has multiplier effects on the economy and society. The National Nutrition Agency aims to build 30,000 kitchens by the end of December 2025. With this target, the Free Nutritious Meal Program is projected to create jobs for around 1.5 million people. Putri Cahaya Purnama has the details.
Mengapa harus ada manager, leader? Ini nggak main-main, Pak. Ini uang triliunan.
Deputy for Monitoring and Supervision at the National Nutrition Agency, Dadang Hendra Yuda, on Tuesday, stated that the Free Nutritious Meal Program benefits not only children and pregnant women, but also directly creates job opportunities and boosts the local economy. During the event, Bara Muda Terus Mengudara bersama RRI in Jakarta, he explained that each kitchen participating in the program can employ up to 49 workers. The required positions vary, ranging from accountants to nutritionists.
tapi 2M ini maknanya lebih berkah.
This 2 billion rupiah is more meaningful. Why? Because it directly creates job opportunities for 49 people, accountants, nutritionists, and 47 staff members. This helps the surrounding community.
The National Nutrition Agency targets building 30,000 kitchens by the end of December 2025. With this target, the Free Nutritious Meal Program is projected to create about 1.5 million jobs.
One kitchen creates 49 jobs. With 30,000 kitchens, sir, that automatically means approximately 1.5 million jobs for the community.
The Free Nutritious Meal Program is Indonesia's free lunch initiative launched during Prabowo Subianto administration. The program aims to develop superior human resources, reduce stunting rates, alleviate poverty, and stimulate the local economy. It is also part of the administration's plan to realize the Golden Indonesia 2045 vision, which seeks to create a golden generation from demographic bonus to lead Indonesia toward becoming a developed nation. The program began rollout on January 6, 2025, across 26 Indonesian provinces, targeting students, pregnant women, and breastfeeding mothers. It is expected to benefit 82.9 million recipients. Putri Cahaya Purnama, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Health, is encouraging joint efforts by all parties in handling dengue fever. Hasna Nur Afifah has the details.
The Indonesian Ministry of Health emphasized that the role of all segments of society is crucial in tackling dengue. This was conveyed during the webinar Joint Efforts in Dengue Prevention and Control, held in Jakarta on Tuesday. The event encouraged community-based prevention efforts through the continuous implementation of mosquito breeding eradication program. Director of Communicable Disease at the Ministry of Health, Ina Agustina Isturina, stated that dengue management cannot rely solely on the government.
So, dengue management requires support from all sectors, and it needs not only contributions from the government, but also from non-government parties, including the private sector, communities, academics, and the media.
Meanwhile, head of the ministry's arboviruses working team, Fajar S.M. Silalahi, explained in detail the mosquito breeding eradication program. The team specifically works on the prevention and control of disease caused by viruses transmitted by arthropods.
Here we have the 3M plus activities, draining, covering, and reusing discarded items. What about the plus? The plus aims to prevent us from being bitten by mosquitoes.
Fajar also stressed that the program will not succeed without collective public awareness. He emphasized that the community participation is essential for its effectiveness.
This is very important. The program will not run effectively if the public does not collectively recognize its importance, and it must also be carried out regularly, continuously, sustainably, and consistently.
According to the World Health Organization, WHO, dengue is among the 10 global health threats, with the potential to escalate into an epidemic or even a pandemic. Its spread is fueled by climate change, increased human mobility, and poorly planned urbanization. Hasna Nur Afifah, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government, through the National Search and Rescue Agency, is drafting comprehensive safety guidelines for climbers at Mount Rinjani in West Nusa Tenggara. This preventive measures follows a recent incident involving a Brazilian climber. Director of Potential Development of the agency, Agus Haryono, announced the initiative during a virtual interview with the Voice of Indonesia on Wednesday. The guidelines focuses on risk mitigation and emergency protocols. Will be submitted to the Ministry of Forestry of Mount Rinjani National Park Management for implementation. Director of Potential Development at the National Search and Rescue Agency, Agus Haryono, shared further details in his exclusive interview with RRA Voice of Indonesia. He explained that the safe climbing recommendations for Mount Rinjani are designed to prevent future incidents and highlight the vital role of teamwork and successful rescue missions.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. VOI listeners, today's special interview presents you about Basarnas, Indonesia's National Search and Rescue Agency, which is committed to providing reliable and effective rescue services to save lives on land and at sea. This mission aligns with the vision and mission of the Indonesian President and Vice President, and under the new leadership of President Prabowo Subianto and Vice President Gibran Raka Buming Raka. The agency is expected to contribute to Asta Cita Vision, namely 8 key goals for national development through swift, well-coordinated, and impactful rescue operations. And beyond emergency response, Basarnas focuses on prevention, public awareness, and partnership. A recent memorandum of understanding with Radio Republik Indonesia, Indonesia's public broadcasting institution, aims to strengthen communication and prepare. And today we speak with Director of Potential Development at Indonesia's National Search and Rescue Agency, Bapak Agus Haryono, to learn more about the agency's support for Asta Cita, their 2025 targets, recent rescue successes, and the role of RRI in achieving their mission. So thank you so much for joining us, Bapak Agus Haryono.
You welcome, Mbak Ratma, listeners of Radio Republik Indonesia. Very nice to see you on air.
Very nice to see you too, Bapak Agus. It's a pleasure to have you here. So just like we told our listeners about the new Prabowo-Gibran administration, about its Asta Cita vision, how will Basarnas or the Indonesia's National Search and Rescue Agency contribute to supporting Asta Cita, and in what ways can the agency align with the program?
Yeah, thank you, Mbak Rahma. Basarnas as the government agency with main task is providing ship and rescue services to the publics in the Indonesian responsibility area. Of course, always supports Asta Cita and has important and significant contribution in supporting that government program in some aspects. The first aspect is strengthening national defense and security. We know that ship and rescue services and also disaster management is an integral part of the national defense and security system, because it can prevent and reduce loss of life due to an emergency situation or disaster. And quoting what was said by head of Basarnas, Air Marshal Muhammad Shafi'i, that saving a life is not just a duty to do, but it is a form of a state investment in the future of the nation. This is a very, very valuable quotation, because we know that one living person is more valuable than thousands of the dead people, because a living person will directly be able to contribute to strengthen national defense and security to be a strong and developed nation. That's why Basarnas duty, Basarnas job is saving life. Therefore, Basarnas has a valuable contribution to the development of this republic. And the second aspect, the contribution of Basarnas to the Asta Cita is improving the development of human resource quality with a reliable and good search and rescue services and disaster management system. Indonesia will be able to reduce negative impact of disaster, particularly loss of life, thereby improving the Indonesian life qualities and well-being. If we have an effective and efficient disaster management system, the people are well-educated and aware of search and rescue and safety, of course, it will literally increase their capability to maintain harmony with the nature and understand how to respond a life-threatening condition. And if they train for self-evacuation capability, of course, when an emergency situation happens, the people can be able to rescue themselves, not entirely independent on the search and rescue team assistant. This is very, very important to improve the human resource capability, especially to save their own life from all the life-threatening situation. And then that's Basarnas can contribute to the Astasita already declared by our president, Mr. President. So that is what Basarnas can provide to the government and to the Indonesian people, Mbak Rahma.
Yes, hopefully Radio Republik Indonesia as a public broadcasting institutions may contribute to support Basarnas' vision and mission, especially in realizing reliable and effective search and rescue operations, streets, programs, and events. And previously, you also mentioned about risky job here in the National Search and Rescue Agency. So could you share with us the story of Basarnas' recent success in rescuing a foreign national in Mount Rinjani? Because we know how the agency managed to successfully carry out the mission. And what lessons can be learned from this case? And what message can we share with the listeners?
Yeah, recent operation, recent mission for foreign mountain climbers on Mount Rinjani, Lombok, was quite dramatic, Mbak Rahma, because it became, you know, an international issue. And we had a golden time to rescue the survivors. But the success of operation actually depend on the quick response, weather condition, and also terrain condition. Respond time itself was influenced by the speed of information delivery, the speed of the information we receive from the location, and the distance to the survivor's location. In case of Juliana Marin, Brazilian citizen, we quickly respond after receiving the information. But due to long distance and bad weather, so Basarnas and joint SAR team took almost 10 hours to arrive at the survivor position, at the Juliana position, where she had fallen into around 600 meters down to the cliff. This is a very difficult situation when the rescue team arrive on scene at night, and bad weather and then difficult terrain prevented rapid evacuation by using helicopter, even though the helicopters already arrive on scene on Mount Rinjani to support us for air medical evacuation. But because the bad weather and also the dangerous location of the Juliana, so it is impossible to use a helicopter to evacuate Juliana. But in other cases, when we rescue other mountain climbers from Switzerland and also from Holland, the weather condition were much better, and the survivor position also much easier to evacuate, that allowing Basarnas and joint search and rescue team to apply air medical evacuation by using helicopter. And thanks God, the survivors were successfully rescued. And the lesson learned from the Rinjani case is that no matter how advanced, how sophisticated our technology and equipment we have, we already use all the modern equipment, drone, helicopter, and also all rescue equipment, but it cannot always be able to overcome weather and natural obstacles. So we cannot actually defeat the nature, but we cannot defeat the weather. So what we can do, therefore, is it is important to make preventive measures to anticipate emergency situation, emergency condition in extreme locations such as in Mount Rinjani. Safe climbing management and also climbers' awareness of the rule in the national park are essential to prevent fatalities. And now Basarnas also developing a recommendation for a safe climbing on Mount Rinjani, which will be submitted to the Minister of Forestry and also the National Park in Rinjani. And last but not least, the lesson learned from this case is that good teamwork is the key success of second rescue. So again, good teamwork, because Basarnas and together with joint search and rescue team coming from the volunteers, coming from the armed force, police, and other institutions, we work together side by side under one command from SAR Mission Coordinator by Chief of Mataram SAR Offices. We work together and we evacuate the survivors together. So actually there is no individual works in the field in Mount Rinjani. We always work as a team. That is the lesson learned we receive from this dramatic mission.
Okay, Pak Agus, we never want a disaster happens, but if disaster happens, hopefully Indonesia's National Search and Rescue Agency, Basarnas, will always be able to ensure safety for everyone. Thank you so much, Pak Agus Haryono, Director of Potential Development at the National Search and Rescue Agency of Indonesia. Thank you so much for joining us.
Welcome, Mbak Rama. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Pak Agus. And listeners, that's our special interview for today. And stay tuned for more insightful and inspiring talks only on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, it concludes today's news bulletin from the Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world.
Dear God, Indonesia, malam, walau tak pernah ada kesempatan, terjebak dalam jerat mengikat, namun tekadnya takkan bebas. Semakin lapang, hanya dahan kering yang terpanggang. Tak ada teman, telah terpencar. Namun waktu terus berputar. Peduli apa terjadi, terus berlari tak terhenti. Untuk raih harap
of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Boy listener, after this you will listen to Indonesian Wonder, only on Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to Juanda Forest Park Tahura, which is located in the north of Bandung City, West Java, Indonesia. It's about 7 kilometers from the downtown of Bandung. Apart from the very beautiful natural forest, Tahura is also often used for cross-country sports. Besides, in this area, there are also several tourism attractions. First, there is Goa Belanda, which literally means the Dutch cave. It is located about 500 meters from the main entrance of Tahura Juanda. This cave, which is one of the Dutch colonial heritages, is not a natural cave because it was made by humans. Initially, the cave, which was built in 1901, was used for a company engaged in hydroelectric power generation. However, in 1918, the Dutch carried out renovations by adding passages and corridors in the cave in the Dago Pakar area. Secondly, there is the Japanese cave, which is located around 300 meters from the Dutch cave. This Japanese cave was founded by the Japanese military in 1942 to be used as a military barracks and protection. The Japanese cave has four entrances and two guard holes. There are 18 bunkers, which are still in the same condition as the original one. Then there is also Tebing Keraton, which is a cliff at an altitude of 1,200 meters above sea level and is still included in the Tahura Juanda area. This place has become very famous on social media because there, one can enjoy views of the greenery of Tahura Juanda, which stretches as far as one sight. Well, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Suara hati menyapa. Voice of Indonesia.
After this, you will listen to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia from Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which introduces you to Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the Indonesian language. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, the Overseas Service of Radio Republik Indonesia, and the Language Center and Development Agency at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Di Martapura, which means in Martapura. Stay tuned. You listen to a conversation entitled Adu, which means ouch, oh, or wow, depending on the context. Adu is an interjection to express surprise, pain, etc. If you want to express pain, adu means ouch. If you want to express surprise, adu means oh or wow. This conversation takes place between Chris, a gemstone seller, at the Gemstone Craft Center in Martapura. Chris expressed surprise at the price of a ring decorated with an expensive sapphire stone. Let's listen to their conversations.
Berapa harga cincin batu safir ini?
3 juta rupiah. Ini safir biru asli Martapura.
Aduh, mahal sekali.
After listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary related to today's material. Di Martapura. Di Martapura, which means in Martapura. I will pronounce it slowly. You can repeat it after me. Aduh, mahal sekali. Aduh, mahal sekali. Which means, oh, that's very expensive. Mahal sekali. Mahal sekali, which means very expensive. Berapa? Berapa? Which means how much? Harga? Harga, which means price or cost. Cincin? Cincin, which means ring. Tiga? Tiga, which means three. Juta? Juta, which means million. Rupiah. Rupiah, which means Indonesian rupiahs. Safir biru. Safir biru, which means blue sapphire. Asli. Asli, which means original. Martapura. Martapura, which refers to Martapura City in South Kalimantan. In the conversation, you hear the statement, aduh, mahal sekali. Aduh, mahal sekali. Which means, oh, that's very expensive. In this sentence, there is an interjection, aduh. Aduh, which means oops, or ouch, or oh, which functions to express a feeling of surprise. In this sentence, the word aduh, aduh, which means oh, is followed by an expression about something that causes surprise, namely mahal sekali, which means very expensive. The expression mahal sekali, which means very expensive, refers to the price of the blue sapphire ring, which according to Chris is very expensive. Now, let's listen to other examples of the use of interjection aduh. Aduh, which means ouch or oh, or to tell surprise expression in another sentence. Aduh, dompet saya ketinggalan. Aduh, dompet saya ketinggalan. Which means, oh my, I forgot my wallet. Aduh, saya ketinggalan pesawat. Aduh, saya ketinggalan pesawat. Which means I missed my flight. Martapura is the capital of Banjar Regency in South Kalimantan Province. Martapura is known as the Diamond City because it has natural resources of precious stones and is a center for precious stones craft in Indonesia. Typical precious stones come from Martapura, including diamonds, emerald, rubies, sapphires, and carnelian. Before closing, let's speak Bahasa today for more clarity. Let's listen to an example conversation once again.
Berapa harga cincin batu safir ini?
3 juta rupiah. Ini safir biru asli Martapura.
Aduh, mahal sekali.
Listeners, that was today's episode of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with a conversation entitled Aduh. Aduh. An interjection to express surprise, pain, etc. Hopefully, today's topic is useful for those of you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. We meet again with more lessons. I'm Daniel. Thank you for your attention. Sampai jumpa.
Boy listener, after this, you will listen to Music Corner, only on Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a traditional song from Papua entitled Paik Akori. The song Paik Akori was composed by Arnold Clemens. This Biak language song tells the story of a nomad who misses his hometown. He leaves his hometown to pursue his dreams. He is determined to use his knowledge to develop his hometown, which has beautiful nature. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song from Papua entitled Paik Akori by A User Group. Happy listening!
Barekna paik akori paik veyunya suar muraro ras veyunya besonaya mamsu prikna dayo yaririya buro bube saena saraya ena yendi sarena Vesup amberi mure mambarek nampawabi Yor fasinan kamasan kwa maya besoruya Insaya sari amis kabare sondui kabare Saya kabir, raso ya kabir, rebu besposin sa propayena. Yo maya ke, ya napya mundo mo bayena. Yor fasinan kamasan, kwa maya besoruya. Insaya sari amis kabare sonui kabare Insaya kabir raso ya kabir bebu besposin sa propaena Yo maya ke ya napya mundo mo baena
barik na paik atori paik veyunya swar muraro ras veyunya ve sonaya mamsu prikna dairo yariria buro buve saena saraya ena yendi sarena Besup amberi mure mambarek nampawawi Yor fasinan kamasan kwa maya besoru ya Insaya sari yamnis kabare sondui kabare Saya kabir, raso ya kabir, bebu besposin sa propaena. Yoma ya ker, ya nap ya mundo mo baena. Yor fasinan kamasan kwa maya, besoru ya. Saya sari amis kabare sonui kabare Saya kabe raso ya kabe bebu besposen sa propalena Yo maya ke ya na pia mundo mo valina Yo maya ke ya na pia mundo mo valina
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you so much, Voice listener, for accompanying me through this one-hour program. And don't forget to send your messages through our social media. In Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia. Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. Instagram and TikTok in VOI double underscore officials. We also have our email address in voilisteners@gmail.com and also our WhatsApp number in +62 821 2381 2130. Thank you so much for listener and viewers. Stay tuned with us always on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.